Hello, hello, hello. This is Tooth Be Told. This is Dr. Walter Acca.
And you already know who this is, Leroy Horton.
We are back. We are back, and we got more questions and more answers, and hopefully we're answering and providing some gems for people. I think we are. I feel good about it.
Sometimes I wonder if we just give the old man perspective. Because I really try to put myself in the position of a young, mid-20s, late 20-year-old graduate in the 2024 era. And I don't want to be that old man that's like,
Okay, let me ask you a question. This question was brought to my attention. And I want your honest opinion. Okay, you have a son. You have a daughter. Okay, so you're the perfect fit because I can ask you either way, and there's no gender bias or anything, right? Because I don't want to get canceled. So either one, your son or daughter, would you advise them to go into dentistry?
That's a great question.
And
So
again, I want people to know that we didn't plan this. This is me legitimately asking you this question. Would you advise your kids to go into dentistry?
Yes. All three, I've actually tried to talk them into dentistry at some point in their lives. But primarily because I knew that they would have me for guidance, support, learning, and that transition from graduating to starting your career. I feel like I've learned enough hard lessons to where I could, both on a financial end, on the educational end, on just everything, I could really guide them to a much smoother start and acceleration into their career. If I knew, like, hey, I'm gonna tell you go to dentistry, but I'm gonna get hit by a bus tomorrow, so I'm not gonna be here to guide you, I would really think twice about it. I think right now it's a very difficult field to come out and come out with your sanity intact the first 5 years. We all kind of figure it out eventually. Some of us become, bitter in certain arenas, but I think those that do best seem to be the ones who have a parent, have an older sibling, have a family member where they're walking into a system. Whereas a lot of us that kind of are like, hey, I'm a dentist. What do I do now? There was a lot of just walking straight face first into walls.
Right,
You know what I mean?
I'm not sure if I would.
Tell me
And
about it.
I'm not sure if I would. And the reason why I say that is because I think dentistry has gotten to a point where it used to be where you can, even if you didn't enjoy it, you did it and you were paid well, you had a great life, there was not much stress to it. I feel like now there's so many outside factors that if you don't like it, you're going to be miserable.
See that.
Patients, insurance, everybody is an expert. You got people that aren't even dentists doing dentistry.
That
you got
is true.
assistants doing whitening in people's houses. You got assistants trying to straighten people's teeth. You got people that are you got people that do nails trying to do veneers. Now, I saw this. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. He did nails, and she said, I also want to learn how to do veneers. And she thought the correlation was there, where acrylic and acrylic on people's teeth were exactly the same to her.
Well, it's clearly a natural progression, right? You
According
go
to this
from nails
person, it
to
was.
teeth. Yeah, I mean, I see that, right? Straight line,
So, you're right.
right?
Why wouldn't that be the case? So for
Right.
me, I look at it like this. If I can argue, then I should be a lawyer. That's how, if I can argue really well against who is better, Kobe or LeBron, then I should absolutely defend you in a murder trial. Same trajectory. I don't see how this is any different. So let me know, I'll have my advertisement out soon for you, for my law firm with no degree. But that's what I'm when I say that, I really do mean like they have to show a lot of enthusiasm, excitement, right? Like, for example, today I went to get my teeth cleaned today. And I'm not a hypocrite. I don't have perio. Yes. I made sure that I was, because the assistant, who I go to is also the one that I'm sorry, that the hygienist that I go to is also the one that, we work well together and so forth. So
Right.
she's like, you better not have any perio. And I was like, yeah, I
This
better not,
is while flossing for a whole week before
right? You know it. You know how it
your
is, right?
appointment, just to make sure.
Exactly. I was like, let me be fake about this. But they gave me the fluoride, the fluoride you apply, the varnish, okay? And what I did was I brought it home and I basically had my kids, they put gloves on, they put it on my teeth.
Oh, that's
That's the
cute.
kind, yeah, that's the kind of
Yeah.
stuff that I'm like, oh, let them do this and then it'll be fun and they'll get excited about it. But am I gonna push them towards that? Nope. Am I going to, I want them to naturally develop and say, yeah, I actually like dentistry. I want to pursue dentistry because I really do believe that if you go into it thinking, oh, mom and dad are here and you're basically just trying to follow my path, and my path was way different than what your path is going to be. What does
Right.
dentistry look like in 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Right.
I can guarantee you it's not going to look like what it does now.
So
I think
what
it'll
I'm
be
hearing,
harder.
Walt, is that you're very Americanized. You're no longer an African parent.
Yeah, oh,
Because
no. So
you're telling your kids they have the freedom to choose what makes them happy
I never once said that.
versus
I never once said
this
anything about happiness. I refuse to ever
is
say anything about happiness. Because if that was the case, they could be philosophy majors. That's not happening.
Hey,
That's
we
not
need
happening in my house.
philosophy.
That's not
We
happening in my
need
house.
philosophy.
Yeah, okay. And then go ahead and get the debt associated with it. Because yeah. Anyways, I never said anything about happiness. I said they should not go into dentistry if they're not passionate about it. But one thing we're going to be is we're going to be passionate about whatever job we do. Because I'm not going to have you half-ass anything. That I can't deal with that. If they decide to be artists, they better be a goddamn incredible artist where they're out there putting their stuff out there. They're not just sitting at home hoping someone's going to find them and, you know
Oh,
what I
for
mean,
sure.
discover it. I want them to work. I don't care what you do, work your and be the best that you possibly can be at it. But you got to have
For
passion for
sure.
something.
For sure.
Yeah.
But okay. So my business partner that we interviewed on our show,
Yeah.
two of his sons are dentists, one's went into medicine. I saw that their ability to have opportunities for shadowing, working in a dental office, knowing people to get letters of reference, getting into dental school, having the financial wherewithal to pay for stuff, coming out using his connections and building offices and, buying from vendors at lower prices because, hey, that's his dad. We've been working him for
That's it.
years. It makes so much sense, though.
Oh, and I
If
agree with you.
in that scenario.
That's it.
And that's where I really wanted my kids to follow my footsteps. A, so we can share in this interest in this topic that I've had a passion for years, because you want to be able to share that with people you love.
Right.
But it also made sense. I mean, how many families do we see where the kids just follow in the family business?
That's it.
Why is that wrong for dentistry? Why would you not push him to join the family business?
And that's, but the difference is when people join family businesses, it's almost kind of like they're at, like, let's just say you have a construction business. They're not doing the dirt, they're not doing the dirty stuff. They have people that are doing the dirty stuff. In dentistry, you're doing the dirty stuff. You see, you run the office, but you're also, yeah, in construction, if you're the construction, if you're the guy that owns the construction company, most of the time you're not the one putting up the wall, the drywall, and stuff like that. You may know that information, but you're not the one actually, you're hiring people to do that. You're overseeing them, correct?
No, of all your, I think the vast majority of your construction companies are small mom and pop construction companies
Okay.
where they have workers that work for them, but
Right.
they're hands on.
I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
They're supervising. They're
Oh, no,
owning.
they're
You think
hands
they're
on.
putting up drywall and stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, and so, and I mean, for example, like I've had two contractors that have worked on my house
Okay.
and my offices, and they are the head honchos of their company,
Right.
and they always had four or five workers, but they were there working with them.
See, I've never seen
You know?
contractors do that. I've seen them literally looking at the plan and say, making sure that no one screws up anything where it hits them financially. You see what I'm saying? I've never seen them being like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put this up. They're like, hey, you guys need to put this wall up and we need to do this, this, and this. And they direct people to do stuff. You
Well,
see
that's
what I'm
because in
saying?
Texas, y'all get that immigrant labor for mad
And
cheap,
okay,
so they can.
this is
That's all
exactly
Texas
how
is
we're not
about,
going to do
right?
it. We're not going that way. But what I'm getting at is, oh, here's another factor too. Just because you're skilled, and this is a difference in dentistry as well versus construction, right? Construction, you can learn the trait, right? But in dentistry, let's just say you're a cosmetic dentist. You have hand skills that most people probably don't have. You have ability to see, shapes, angles, and so forth that other people don't have. It's an art craft. It's an art that you have acquired, right? And I honestly think you have to have a level of natural art talent in order to excel to the level of a really good cosmetic dentist. Who's to say your son or daughter has the same skills?
But can you develop?
You can develop, but you're probably not going to be to that level.
Right. But I mean,
I
they don't have to do
because
cosmetics. They can just do general dentistry. They might have a knack for surgery
well,
or
but you built a
prosthetic.
cosmetic practice. Now you're telling them to change the whole entire game plan here because cosmetic and surgery are very different. They're
No, because a lot of cosmetic surgeons bring in specialists to do the in-house
Yeah, but
implants
they
and
do cosmetics. They're doing the rehab part of it. They're not doing the surgical part of it. Does that make sense? Meaning that,
no,
like, go
but
ahead.
if I'm a cosmetic dentist
Yeah.
and I restore implants
Right.
and my son or daughters want to go and become periodontists,
Right.
now they can place the implants on my patients and I restore them.
But then when are you going to retire? You're never going to retire?
Well, I
Do you
can if I want to,
No,
but
but do you see what I'm getting at? You said you want to basically groom them to take over. How do you
no. I
do
wasn't
that
saying
if
groom them to take over. And when you take over, then they can take over the business and then they can hire a cosmetic dentist in the same way that I would hire a surgeon. I think we shouldn't oversimplify it. I mean,
Okay.
honestly, I don't think dentistry is that magical of a profession. 'Cause I tell you this, my father-in-law was in construction for 35 years, right?
Okay.
He was a carpenter, union carpenter.
Yeah.
The woodwork that he does is so beautiful
That's
and
it.
artistic.
That's it.
I mean, he's made me some homemade knives because he has a forge in the backyard, and just the artistic work on the wood handle that he does. So I think there's plenty of skill to go around, and a lot of people can learn and develop enough to at least be good. Some people are going to be naturally excellent at something. Excellently, at surgeons, at cosmetics, at whatever. Some people are good enough to be good, right?
Well, what if you're excellent and your son or daughter is just good? Do you think that the same quality of patients are going to be going to your child? You've built something where people are now coming and paying a substantial amount, right? Because of the quality of work. And then you have somebody coming in to take over, and that same quality of work is not there. The same attention to detail may not be there, right?
Well, I
What do
mean,
you do
I
in
think
that situation?
that could be said for any industry,
No, but
honestly.
what I'm saying is, like, what do you do in that situation? To me, I get the idea. If they say, hey, I want to continue the family business, I think that's easier in other fields than it is in dentistry. I really do. I think it's easier in medicine. I think it's easier in, like I said, construction. I think it's easier in tech. I think it's easier in other fields. I just don't think it's that easy in dentistry because dentistry marries art and science together. And some people are very good with the art and some people are very good with the science.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a lot of legacy practices that seem to be doing just fine. I mean, because if that's the case, then we would never hire associates because an associate can never do anything as good as me, right? Whether it's
Well,
son or daughter or.
Right, and don't you limit what associates can do when they first come
Well,
into the practice?
until they develop, right?
Right.
And so you'd hire your kid, your kid comes work with you after they graduate and you give them the easy stuff and then
Right.
over time the more complicated stuff and you help them
Right.
develop.
Okay.
I just think do you like your kids? Well,
I love my kids.
I want my kids around.
I love my kids. That's why I'm telling them not to do dentistry. Like, I want them to be as happy as they possibly can. I want them to basically say, you know what? I am not forced to do this. My dad loves doing this. He loves the podcast. He loves, lecturing. He loves doing all this stuff that's dental related. I may not have that same vibe. I'm okay with that. I just don't think that I need to sit there and say, oh, let me wait for them to then take over my practice before I quit or I retire or whatever it may be. I
Well,
believe
I
in my
think
path.
let me translate for the people, because I think I get what you're saying.
Okay.
What you've seen over the years is that you can see how miserable one can be if they don't love this,
That's it.
and you don't want that for your kids.
At all.
There's other jobs where people can do to make money while they pursue their other interests,
Absolutely.
barbecuing on the weekends, traveling, vacationing. It's a means to an end. This is a job, and this is for everyone listening, whether you're thinking dentistry or you're in dentistry. If you don't truly like it and love it, you can be extremely, extremely miserable.
That's it. And it can
And I
beat
don't
you
want
down too.
anybody, whether they're my kids or not, to be in a job. Let's put it this way, from a patient's perspective, I don't want you doing a procedure on me if you're miserable doing
That's it. That's it. That's
it.
exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's not to say that I don't love dentistry. I think dentistry is the best thing you could possibly do. I really, really enjoy dentistry. I don't know if in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, dentistry is going to look the same. I don't know if the stuff that we were privileged to ha have and to do, they're going to be able to do the same thing. I'm not sure what technology is going to look like. I'm not sure what could you actually even open your own dental office without being run over by like a Walmart of dentistry? And I
That
already
is
see a
true.
Walmart of dentistry coming up. I see multiple Walmarts of dentistry. Are you going to be run over by that, right? Because everybody says you go to a small town and you have mom and pop shops, and all of a sudden you get a Walmart in there and the mom and pop shop can't compete. So I'm seeing more and more of that. So again, I'm seeing the trend, and I'm saying to myself, is dentistry a great field? Is dentistry the best thing that ever happened to me? Absolutely. But is dentistry something that I see changing? And do I see a lot of dentists, especially since we get to talk to people on this podcast? We talk to a lot of people, on and off camera, and we know the truth, and we see where everybody says, and we hear what everybody says. And I'm like, I'm not hearing everybody going high-fiving each other. I get a lot of people talking about they're burned out and stuff. We just did an episode about that.
So, well, if you won the lottery today, you never have to think about money again. Would you still do dentistry,
In a
or would you
heartbeat.
not?
I would absolutely do dentistry. I'm telling you when I say, remember when we interviewed Dr. Dennis and he was surprised that I gave up my time to volunteer? Remember that?
It was like you were speaking a completely foreign language. He was like, "What?
You
What is this volunteer word?"
right, and you had to pay your insurance, but yet you still want. And I said yes because I really do love what I do, and I do think that I've been blessed enough to give back. So if I had money was not an object, I still would be doing dentistry. I would.
Same
If
here.
anything, I might actually just travel and do dentistry for sure without having to be one local area. I might be like, I'm gonna spend a month in Africa. I'm gonna spend a month in Asia and just doing that way if I could. You see what I'm saying? Like that I might actually do more that than anything else, But again, this is the difference. Like you and I have something that we find very, very enjoyable in dentistry, And I'm not saying that everybody has that, and I want everybody to have that. But I also understand that some people feel like, oh, I went into it because, hey, I was going to make good money. And then I'm like, man, this is worth it.
Well,
Right.
listen, you hear all the time, we said it last time, you hear all the time, you should be a doctor, dentist, or lawyer, right? When you're growing up. So there's that mystique around it. There's the mystique of the fallacy of, oh, you're a $1 million dentist. Every dentist is rich, which is not the
Not.
case. It's like every MD is not rich, right?
And we talked about in the
Are
last
you
episode,
are
growing
you well
down.
to do compared to the global standard? Absolutely. Compared to the American standard, for a
Yeah.
lot of us, let's say you make 190,000, But your school loans are $3,000 to $4,000 a month. It takes a while to get there, but you will as long as you stick with it long enough, you will absolutely be fine. But a lot of people think that you should walk out the door with your cap and gown, and golden paved roads just
Right.
lay ahead of you,
Yes.
and that's just not the case.
Now I can go to that really expensive neighborhood and buy a house in there. You know what
Right.
I mean?
Right.
And my family is going to be all Louis Vuittoned out and stuff like that. That doesn't happen.
But let me ask you this, man,
Yeah.
because we've had some friends of ours who are trying to teach you how to retire. And we just talked about what happens if money was not an issue. I would absolutely still do dentistry. Would I do it 5, 6 days a week?
No,
Maybe not. Right.
I would
No.
not. I don't do
No.
that now. I'm not gonna
Right.
do that. I'm not gonna.
Right.
If money's an issue, I'm definitely not doing that. You know what I mean?
But here's the question. What is this dream that we've been sold that at some point, or you should look at your profession as something you're eagerly awaiting the moment to be able to disconnect from. I love dentistry, and that's why I set myself up with going to residency and getting into research and academia, so that way when I'm too old to physically practice, I can still contribute.
Right.
Whether it's research, whether it's teaching, I can still be around it because I really do love it that much.
Right.
Why do so many people, especially dentists, have this notion of, oh, I'm going to retire and sail off into the sunset and just fish all day,
Well,
as
that's
if they don't have a true interest and passion in this?
well, but that's not just dentists. That's everybody. You know, one thing that I noticed, I remember I went to what was it? It was like Italy for my honeymoon. And we were there kind of off season, and we were sitting in a bus, and we were going to go to Pisa, the Leaning Tower. And one, by the way, it's I hate that place. It's so hyped up. It is the
Really?
dumbest place. Sorry, anybody from Italy listening. It's a dumb place. There's nothing around that lean. You take pictures of it leaning, and then that's it. It's
That's
dumb. Anyway,
it.
sorry, I digress. I apologize. It really irritated me because it took an hour to get there. And then we were there for like 2 hours because the tour guide was like, "Oh, you take all the pictures." And I'm like, "What else is there? There it is. We're done." You know what I
Did you
mean?
take the picture where you're like holding it
Oh, you
up
know I did. And then
and
I was done. That's it. And then I was done. That's 5 minutes.
Right.
But anyway, so I was talking to some people, I was like a couple. And then he was like, yeah, I think it was in the 60s, late 60s. And he's like, man, I've been waiting so long to come here. I've been waiting so long to retire so that I can then start to travel. And I thought to myself, and they were American, and I thought to myself, that is exactly what has been built to Americans, is work hard so you can retire and then have fun. But most people, when they retire, they're either too old to enjoy it
Or
or can't
sick.
enjoy it or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, then I talked to a European couple, and they were like, no, each year we go on about two vacations. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, yes, we go on two vacations, and we go. And I'm not saying that they have the financial means to do that. What I'm saying is, I think we have to start thinking of work differently. That
Right.
it's not just work until you break your body down and then have fun.
Right.
I think you say in a year, I work and then the rest of it, I'm going to go ahead and save up and I'm going to take my, even if you took your family to the next state,
Yeah.
you're not working.
You're not working, you're
You need to enjoy
disconnecting.
yourself a little bit
Yeah.
versus waiting to say, I'm going to go see Yellowstone when I'm 68.
Right. Right. But
And what I do, go
how
ahead.
much of that is allowed? Because our culture is so consumer driven and productivity driven.
Right.
You're not going to be able to keep your job if you take and by extended, I mean a week, week and a half. If you try to take 2 10-day vacations from your job, whether it's paid time off or unpaid time off, you're probably going to get fired.
And that's the problem. No, seriously, our society has made it where if you aren't first in, first out, you're slacking. But the funny thing is, if you look at people's actual day, most of the time is spent BSing anyway.
It really is.
It
It
really, really is. Most people spend most of their day BSing.
really is.
So you're telling me that just this for the looks of it is what we're doing all this for. I think our culture, I think the American or the Western mindset needs a big reset. This is why I'm not a psychologist, I'm not anything but a dentist, but I can see the misery in everybody. And we wonder why people are depressed. We wonder why people are anxious. If you go home and your boss is calling you, in other countries, that's illegal. I know that is in Spain. I know that is in Japan. I know you're not allowed to call your worker when they go home. In other countries, that's not right. You can't do that. It's actually against the law.
I was so guilty of that. I was always so guilty. Because when you own the business, that's your baby.
That's
So
it.
you often don't realize because you're just like, all right, everything, every responsibility is on me. To make payroll, to make sure the patients are set for the next day, to make sure that I'm walking into, and we do that out of this nobility of I want to make sure my patient comes in and their experience from the first foot in to when they're walking out, everything is calm, organized, set. And that does take a lot of work and managing. And sometimes you just don't have to do, you don't have time to do all of that within that workday, because you're currently checking in patients, checking them out, doing the surgeries, doing. So I kind of feel bad. I was always very guilty of sending those, 8, 9 p.m. texts like, hey, you guys did do this for this. You guys did call the patients, or you guys did whatever.
It's
But
illegal in other countries what you're doing.
yeah, I was lucky in that I had managers that, and staff that understood, and they also didn't hesitate. I bought loyalty because I did a lot of work on my staff's families. And I guess that's a good thing because that means when your staff will bring their mothers, their kids to you, that means that
They
because they
trust
see
you.
your work day in, day out. So that's always a compliment. But also, it's hard for you to not be giving above and beyond for someone that did free work on your mom and dad.
True, but are you taking advantage of that? Right? Is it a I do
Yeah,
this for
you can make that
you do
argument.
this for me? That shouldn't be the case.
Well, no, what's wrong with the barter system?
No, that's not a barter system. That's
Yeah,
a
it is.
tit for tat system.
No.
A barter system is within a certain parameter. You said you went outside of the parameter and you're calling people at 9, 10 o'clock at night. That's not
Well,
right.
yeah, because they also had the freedom to say, hey, on a Saturday. My
Okay.
mom, my child broke his tooth, can you come in? And I would do that. So I felt like that's where that relationship and exchange was, is I'd go above and beyond for them, they would go above and beyond for
But
me.
you just said that what you did was not right.
No, I didn't say it wasn't right. You had already framed it as it's illegal. So I was just saying, hey, I'm guilty of that because
Okay,
I would do that.
so
Because it's legal here, right?
do you think what you did was now that you know better, now that you know this, do you
Right.
think that would you do that again? Or would you say, you know what? I could always wait until another time to have that discussion.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely. I think now as I'm older, I think that everybody should be able to clock off and
That's it.
disconnect. I think it's healthier. It probably increases productivity overall.
And don't get it twisted. I've done the same thing. I literally did that today. I'm serious. I do. And I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that I'm holier than thou. I've texted office man, hey, did you guys do this, and this? She's like, yeah, we did, but I'm home now with my family. I'm like, oh, my bad, my bad. And I say that, I'm like, oh, I am so sorry. Like, ignore me. You know what I mean? I say ignore, and they just laugh like, okay. You know, so I'm not gonna continue the conversation.
I did that with well, our executive director for the dental society. I knew it was late, but I told myself, I was like, if I don't send this now, and iPhone. So I used to have a staffer that would she could I don't know if it was an Android or what, but she could schedule her texts. So she would put a text and then set a time for it to actually send.
That's an
The
Android.
iPhone doesn't let you do it.
Yeah, that's
And
an
I'm of the
Android.
mind that if I don't send it now, I'm probably going to forget, and this is important. So I sent her a text. I said, hey, if you're sleeping or you're doing anything else, ignore this and text me in the morning.
That's it.
Here's my question.
It's a caveat, and then. And then say whatever you want to do. All right,
Right.
let's jump to I don't think we can solve the world's problem. And I do believe in kind of turning everything off, but let's just a answer some questions. Ready?
Okay.
What do you think about water picks? Some people say that water picks are incredible, and we're using the trademarked water pick name, but any kind of water flosser, we'll call it that, right? Do you
Right.
th Some dentists say, nope, water pick by itself is not good. Some dentists say, yeah, absolutely. Some hygienists say, absolutely, water pick is incredible. Some hygienists
Right.
say, no, in combination. If a patient came to you and says, I have a water pick, what do you think about it? What would you say? And how do you use it properly?
I'm pessimistic because to me, I'm happy if you're brushing properly.
Okay.
What I feel a water pick does is make people feel like they can skimp out on everything else. Because most everyone that comes to me that says they use a water pick, their oral hygiene does not look as good as they would purport it would be with this technology that they're using.
Okay.
So what that tells me is, all right, are you only brushing 30 seconds so that you can go through with your water pick and then you're done? Like if you just brushed for 2 minutes properly, whether you flossed or used a water pick or not, I'd be happy with that as a starting point because I just don't feel, I feel like if it's used right, there's an added benefit. I just don't think most people are using it right in the same way that most people don't brush right, right? They have a toothbrush, but we see all the time people not use it or not use it correctly because they come in and oh, I brush 3 times a day and it's like 100% plaque score.
So what would you use? How would you use a water pick properly?
Well, you depending on the brand and how it's built, you have to place it at the gum line at a specific angle, right? And you press the button and it starts shooting out water, and you have to sit over a sink because that water has to go somewhere,
Right.
right? It can be a little
Right.
messy. And what you really want to do is you want to trace your gum line at a specific angle so that the water jet is actually shooting into the gum line. Right, so it's getting underneath the gums as much as possible, and then to between the teeth, and then you just keep going like that.
Would
It's
you use that by itself, or would you recommend in combination with flossing?
I'm always a big fan of mechanical removal versus any type of propulsion or water pressure, just because I feel like it works better. So I would say, if I could say someone uses it with some, I don't trust anyone's gonna do three things. It's hard enough to get people to do two things, right?
Right.
So if you brush the way you're supposed to brush, if water pick is your jam, go ahead. As long as you're coming in on the recommended cleaning schedule,
Right.
I would prefer you use floss, but a lot of people don't even floss right, right? They kind of pop through the contact, jiggle, come out. They don't even
Okay.
get below the gum, hug the tooth and get below the gum. So I don't know if I'm the right person for this question, man. I'm just pessimistic
Well,
with everything that I see. What about what do
what I'd normally tell people is this. I say, imagine if I came to you, and I'm going to use this analogy on you. Imagine if I came to you and I say, hey, I'm going to clean your car. And you're like, great. My car needs to be clean. Excellent. And I say, oh, where's the hose? And you give me the hose. And I sprayed your car down. And I said, all right, cool. See ya. And I walked
20
away.
bucks. That'll be
Yeah.
$20.
And I walked away. You'd be like, wait a minute. You didn't clean my car. You
Right.
sprayed my car down. So I got rid of the big chunk stuff, right? But I didn't get rid of the actual film on your car. That's what
Right.
the scrubbing is for, right? And so that's why I say include the floss, because
Right.
the floss is actually going to get rid of what we call the biofilm, which is kind of like the area that has the sticky stuff that has the bacteria in it.
Right.
That's what we're trying to get rid of.
Right.
So if you can only do the water pick, cool, you've done something.
Right.
But in actuality, what you want to do is include the mechanical, like you mentioned, the flossing in there, because that's what's going to get rid of that sticky bacteria filled product. And
Right.
then we know that we've done what we need to do.
And in all honesty, if you're gonna floss, then you technically don't even need the water pick,
Right.
right? So you can
Right.
make that argument.
Right.
Where I do like the water pick is in like fixed arch cases where you might have spaces that could trap food.
So
Just to kind of
what he's basically talking about is, like, let's just say you get implants, or you have a bridge, you know, basically, and you want to clean between the bridge and the gum. That's what he's talking about.
Right. So it can aid in kind of a getting rid of large chunks of like stuck food that's stuck in there. You ate some bread. Like anyone ever have, braces or anything, you eat, some bread and you get these just really mushy pieces of bread stuck in the braces. Like Waterpik can be great for that because you can kind of blast some of that stuff off.
That's it.
But I'm not a big proponent of it though.
So
I'm just not.
but if you have it, it is what it is.
So you
Use
can
it.
tell we're not sponsored by Waterpik.
But we're not sponsored by anybody, so we
Right?
can
We'll
talk
make an
trash on anybody.
episode talking about, I have five of them and I use them every day once we get that
That's
sponsorship.
it. Oh no, Waterpik is the best thing in the world.
Right.
But okay, so the next question, the follow-up is, would it be good to add maybe the mouthwash to that water system? Now you're killing two birds with one stone, is basically how a patient actually thought of it. What would you say?
I applaud the creativity. I applaud that someone is thinking about ways to improve.
Right.
I still think in what I've observed, as long as you brush and floss, whatever you put in the water pick, you're not really adding anything. Or just rinse with the mouthwash,
Right.
you
You
know.
know, I thought about that, and I said that's a like you said, I was like, that's clever.
Right.
Here's a part that I'm not sure, and this is when somebody from the company can actually let us know, but that mouthwash, if it has alcohol in there, I'm not sure what it's doing in the line that actually sends the water through. I'm not sure if it's degrading over time or what. I'm not sure what it's made of, if it's just breaking down whatever is in there. That's why we only recommend using water versus something that has alcohol in there, or non-alcohol mouthwash, but there are other chemicals. So I don't know, what you're doing to the line and if you're reducing the lifespan of that product. So for that case, I don't think you should.
Well, listen, I follow this pediatric dentist on IG named Dr. Polo, right? And he had this funny video where he had that filter of making him look like a kid, and he was saying, "Yo, I got the solution. I use mouthwash, right? It kills 99.99% of bacteria. So now I only got 0.01% of bacteria left.
Makes
So
sense.
I use it again."
Bam.
Bam, there you
Bam.
go.
Bam. I'm telling you, the world is better because he knowledge.
He was a
Knowledge.
thinking man, yeah.
Knowledge. But yeah, okay. So we answered that question. I
Okay.
and the question, I think the answer is if you have a water pick, by all means, please use it. But I think the best thing to do is still floss,
I
right?
agree.
Everything kind of points to the best thing to do is still floss because the plaque, the biofilm, that's really what you're trying to get. And I'm not sure, again, if anybody works for Waterpik or anybody and can show me otherwise, the mechanical removal is always the best.
It is, and I'll give someone a little bit of hard numbers. So, in between the teeth, you have gum pockets, right? Floss, and I believe this is a study by Warhawk back in the day, is the only one that can get about 3 to 3.5 millimeters underneath the gum line.
That's right.
Okay. If you just rinse with mouthwash, it gets about, I think they said 0.2 millimeters underneath the gum line.
Yes.
So all that bacteria that's underneath the gums is like, oh, okay, that was cool. Right, we had a blue light show, we had some waterworks, and I think Waterpik is only maybe like a millimeter, millimeter and a half if it's angled perfectly, right? And so floss for in between the teeth is absolutely the best thing you can do to kill or disrupt the
That's it.
bacteria that's between the teeth that's contributing to that inflammation and that gum loss where you
That's it.
lose bone
That's
and
it.
gum tissue. So floss can be your best friend.
That's
That's
it.
that would be my two cents.
Okay, next question. So, I was told to use a mouth guard, but I have terrible gag reflex and just can't. What else can I use to avoid grinding at night?
Great question. It's a great question. Do you have a gag reflex, Walt?
Okay, see, that's weird. You see, no grown man
I'm
should
just
be asking
saying
another grown man
when
anything about gag reflex. See, this is exactly what you do. You find ways to make everything uncomfortable. You don't even say
if
pause.
you were to
You don't even say pause. So now it's weird.
if you were to put a hard prosthesis in your mouth, would you gag?
You see,
Inquiring minds want to know.
I don't know why I'm putting anything hard in my mouth. I don't know why. I don't. I'd rather grind my teeth down.
Listen,
I'd
in
rather grind my teeth down.
2024, in 2024, you can't even eat a hot dog anymore without getting
Oh,
clowned.
not the friends that I
Bananas
have.
out the question, a hot dog's out the question, a corn dog's out the question. Anything that's phallic in shape,
You
just cut
cannot. I stop
it
eating
up
vegetables for that reason. I stop eating vegetables for that reason. No
okay.
carrots for me.
No. Okay, true story. So I had Invisalign and I was doing it on myself, right? I scanned my own teeth, I had trays made. I was like almost there, but around month 8, all of a sudden, every time I put the tray in over my teeth, I would just start gagging. And I was like, oh, what is going on? Like, 8 months I've been fine. So finally I had to go to my orthodontist buddy, Dr. Kashner, and he said, all right, we'll just put some braces on you, we'll finish you up. And within like a month and a half, 2 months, he like fine-tuned it. But I gag reflexes are so instinctual and uncontrollable. They're very autonomic. And so I'm not sure what we can do. Because usually you would think gag reflex on like a denture or something that touches the soft palate or the soft,
The roof of the
the
mouth.
back part of the roof of your mouth. But I can attest to that sometimes just having anything, even something as thin as an Invisalign tray, can
Activate
activate
it.
it, and I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like you said, I don't know. There's so many different things that people do. They're like, oh, try salt. Like you've heard that, right? They put salt on something. Yeah, they say I've had assistants like, oh yeah, just try salt, put it in the back, put it back there, and all of a sudden the gag reflex is not as bad. I don't know any
Really?
scientific evidence based on that. Some people lift their legs up. I've heard that. Lift your leg up, and I'm like, that's a bit distracting, but okay. I've heard a lot of
You're supposed to just sleep like that with your leg up so you
Bro,
don't
I listen, I'm just telling you what people have said to try to do for gag reflex. Okay. I don't know how that makes sense, but people tell us. You know what I mean? It's always like an older, wiser assistant. It's like, oh, try this. It always works for me. But in all honesty, I have no clue. I mean, I remember reading that question. And I was just like, I don't know the answer to this one because it is something that you need, which is a grind, you have a mouth guard to help prevent you damaging your natural teeth. But if you're gagging, I don't know what you can do. Oh, actually, what? No. Okay, stop. Stop. I just thought of this. If you're gagging because you have something that is covering all of your teeth from back teeth to the front, then maybe we can use an anterior posterior guide. An anterior posterior guide is basically like, or an anterior guide is a guide that just fits in the front part, the front teeth, and kind of sits in the front teeth, and it actually keeps the back teeth from touching. The problem with that is long use has they've been shown to basically have what we call your teeth become super erupted. Is it a lot? It's not, but it's enough to notice. So now your bite kind of changes. Okay. But if you do need something like that, an anterior guide, which is basically one that fits from like your canine to canine, you can just have it there and it keeps your back teeth from touching so that you don't have to go through that grinding motion, right? Your body doesn't say, oh, okay, there's something for me to grind, right? It's not connecting. So your back teeth are not connecting. So you can try that. What do you
You can
think?
definitely. I think that's if your grinding is that bad, then I mean that's your only option, right? And it's
Yeah, and
kind
you
of like,
have gag issues.
yeah, and it's like pick your poison. Do you want slight super eruption of your back teeth and your bite shifting over the years, or do you want to just wear your teeth down to nubs, right? I think the beyond that's symptomatic care. I would say, especially as I'm older now, like we have to start looking at, well, what could be potentiating this grinding? Are you stressed out? Is it work stress? Is it kid stress? Is there something you could do, a life change, whether it's exercise, yoga? I think we often ignore that in dentistry. We just say, all right, it's an oral symptom. We're going to treat the symptom. Boom, you're good. And there's not as much interdisciplinary care, which I'll be honest with you, I went through a phase where I was like, you know what, I'm going to start referring people to, the holistic doctor down the street, or the therapist that deals with life stressors. Don't
Right.
nobody go. They're like, all
That's
right,
true.
doc, I got to work tomorrow, so I'll be back when my night guard's in.
It is. So we're
Yeah.
so are you saying, do you think that dentistry and maybe we'll leave here, but do you think dentistry is more of a reactive field now versus preventative?
Bro, I was just having this conversation today.
Hmm.
They pay the most on our procedures that we do primarily to address things that have already happened. So we're treating things after the fact. And they pay so little on prevention. And I think that's our healthcare system in
In
general.
general, yeah.
So there's no incentive for me. Like, yeah, we talk about, hey, oral hygiene instruction, water jet, floss, blah, blah, blah. But you also realize that if everybody started brushing and flossing and decreased their sugar, we wouldn't have jobs,
We wouldn't
right?
have lucrative jobs.
Wouldn't have lucrative
We
jobs. We
would
wouldn't have
still
that
be sitting
yacht.
there
We
going,
wouldn't have,
you're doing it, keep
you
it
do
going.
it, right?
We'd be cheerleaders.
And so that's where I struggle with, how can we incentivize the person who has to pay bills, pay their loans? If you got your own office, you got your employees' wages, your materials, like you have to pay bills as to survive, whether you're an owning dentist or not. But the model incentivizes symptomatic care versus preventive care, which is counterproductive to the benefit of our patients. So how do we put those two together on our own? We know the industry is going to be the industry. It's going to be profit driven. How can we as individuals change how we practice and still make a good living?
That makes sense. And do you think that we're taught in school more reactive fixing of stuff versus prevention of stuff? Because I
Oh, 1 million.
remember in dentist, I remember in dental school, we had to sit with our patient that smoked and talk for like 15 to 30 minutes about smoke cessation and preventing smoking. And let me show you the brochure that you can use to stop the smoking habit of yours. I remember that. Like, if the teacher saw that the patient smoked and you didn't go over cessation, then you're sitting there like, oh, go talk to them and you'll be okay. I don't even know the last time I even did that. I mentioned it to the patient, like, listen, if you want to heal, we have to start cut, and this is our consultation, but I don't spend 20 minutes talking to them about like where they can get information about how to stop smoking or, do they need to go buy nicotine patches, gums, whatever it may be. I don't do that.
But let's say there was a model in which for that you got reimbursed and it was a decent
For my
amount
time.
for your time.
Okay.
You would probably do that, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff I feel like we would do if it was
That's right.
built into the model. Because right now I can say all I want that, oh, I want to spend so much time talking to my patients and getting to know them. And the only place I've been able to do that is residency, because I'm not driven by, because I'm paying to be here.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to be super productive, right?
But
And
you know who actually does pay? Do you know who insurance actually pays to do that? MDs.
Oh.
Primary care. They
Yeah.
always talk about, oh, I talked about weight management. I
Right.
talked about this. Right? And they get paid to do that.
No, don't even get me started, bro. You got kids. This is how they trap you. You go in for their wellness visit. They do the wellness visit, which is the checklist of all stuff, and then they say, "Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?" That's the freaking trap. Because anything you talk about, oh yeah, their knee's been hurting. You get a bill in the mail for like $400 for a con. You're like, "Oh, well, that's outside the scope of a wellness visit." She asked me. I didn't volunteer the information. So now you learn as a patient, like, okay, if they ask me if there's anything else, nope. And you look at your kid, you'd be like, you better not say shit. Nothing. Don't say nothing.
You like leave limping. You're like leaving on a crutches. No, I'm still fine. I'm not talking to you about this.
Nope.
Get my wheelchair real quick. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. And that could be a whole topic of just what we need to do. Because I honestly think we've become more of a repair service versus a repair preventative service. But we still have more questions than, and I'm sure we'll get derailed by other topics next time, but we'll try to get to these questions. So we got 2 out of 10. Excellent.
In an
We're doing
hour. Wow,
well.
that's a record for us.
We're doing well. We are absolutely not distracted by other stuff that we care about. Good. Well, hopefully we got to your question. Patient 1 and 2. Forget the other 10. If we had a talk show, we would be the worst. We probably would not have that show for a long time because we would never get. Oprah was good at asking the audience questions, like, "Oh, what do you think?" Us would be like, "Let me tell you what I think."
We would have guests that'd be waiting for the last 15-minute spot that would always just never that we'd always run out of time.
We'll bring John Smith back on next time to talk about what we mentioned last year. But yeah, no, okay, we'll get to okay, I'm not even gonna say I promise we'll get to more because we probably won't. So let's not lie. We'll just keep trying to answer these questions until we're done.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And in between we'll have people coming on to kind of give everybody an insight to dentistry and what's going on, like we always do.
Yes.
Yeah, and then
And
we'll
Pete, but we got a big announcement, man.
Oh
I
yeah.
don't know. Do you remember back in the day there was this huge, huge fight? It was Ollie Frazier. And they
If
had
you if you're a
multiple,
certain age,
right?
if you're a
Ollie
certain age,
Frazier.
yes.
You had Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield or Sonny Liston, right?
Right.
In our day and age, we had Pacquiao versus Mayweather.
That's right. That's
Okay.
right.
We've got a fight coming up, and I think we need to tell the world
We do.
about this battle. So, me and my man, Dr. Walter Arca, are engaging in the great debate of 2024 in Vegas at the National Dental Association
That's
Convention.
right. That's right.
And just like Ali Frazier, you've got your pretty boy, skilled, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, doctor, quick with my wit, right? I can, and then you got your hard-nosed Philadelphia,
There it
Pennsylvania,
is.
forehead down, lunge forward and just kind of throw stuff, see what sticks at the wall.
Okay.
We're going to see these two great people
Got
go
you.
at it live
Got
on
you.
stage.
That's it.
I think we're slated for the 27th, but I'll get the details and we'll do some
Right.
promo work.
So
But tell us about this debate, Walt. What are we going to be talking about?
what this fool is trying to say is, in dentistry, there are so many different things that we can't decide on, right? If one doctor looks at an extraction, or I'm sorry, looks at an X-ray or looks at a picture of a tooth, they might say, "You know what? Let's take this out." Another doctor might say, "No, we need to keep this tooth for as long as possible." And we go back and forth, and most of the time we're supposed to base everything off of research. We're supposed to base everything off of our clinical judgment as well. So that combination of what we've been learned, what we've been taught, and what works in our hands and what works for the long term, right? So what we're going to do is we're basically going to be given a picture, and then I'm going to fight for what is right, fight for what is natural, okay? Not a BBL, but squats, okay?
A
I'm gonna
dental
fight.
BBL.
You are the BBL. I'm gonna fight for natural beauty. I'm gonna fight to try to keep this tooth while, the doctor with the heavy hands, the doctor that just wants to replace everybody with as androids, is going to fight to take this tooth out. So if anybody's interested, we're gonna get together in Vegas for the prime time show.
Yes.
And I'm going to be on the side of good. And I'm going to be on the side of keeping your body the way God intended. And Dr. Horton is going to be on the side of we don't know. And he's going to
Well,
take teeth out. That's what he's going to do.
listen,
I'm not
I'm going to be
biased.
on the side of the government is trying to microchip you, and they're putting microchips in the dental implants now, so we know what you're doing, where you're going.
And for all my all my holistic dentists, I'm on your side. I don't believe metals go in your mouth. No. Let me stop. No, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun because
That's gonna be fun.
what we're doing is basically trying to, I want to say, and I'm going to say this probably even then, is no, there is no right answer. It's just
Exactly.
a matter of let's give you the facts. Let's try to convince you that my side or his side is the side you want to go on based on all the information we give you. And
The
if we
better
do
way.
our, if we do our job, you're going to come out going, huh, I can now look at another tooth and actually think of both sides versus me always going one way or the other. We are going to try to make you a well-rounded
Yeah.
professional.
Or you might come out and you be like, man, that Leroy is just a handsome devil
That's
with a
right.
silver tonge,
That's right.
knows his shit.
And you're
Who
98 years old,
was
and you're 90 years old, and
that
you're like, man, look at that.
other
that handsome little that man up there with that silver tongue, because only
Right.
1950s and and older talk like that. Okay.
Oh, what a
What are
whippersnapper.
we exactly? So for the seniors out there, Dr. Horton will be there. But no, I'm excited. I think there's gonna be a lot of fun, and we'll basically get more information and detailed information. So everybody should come out in July to just at least, if anything, we're gonna entertain you. If
Absolutely.
you learn nothing, you're gonna learn that I'm right and he's wrong. Yeah, I mean that's it. And the more people that vote for me, I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm going to be bribing people, but I'm gonna be bribing people. We don't know.
Are you handing out M&Ms?
You
You
know
like,
what?
hey, you vote for me.
You know,
There
I
you
might
go.
slip a little
There you
something, but
go.
no, it should be a good time. I'm excited. Just
Absolutely.
again, in the end, we're gonna basically allow people to kind of think through treatment plans, and
Exactly.
patients are gonna be served in the end because they're gonna sit there and
Exactly.
say, "Oh, I actually saw this case, and I actually think we can save this tooth," or I actually say, "Hey, based on what I learned, we might need to go with this implant part." But guess what? In the end, the patient's gonna know why.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to do. Oh, we try to be
Exactly.
funny, but in the end, the patient is going to know why.
Patient is going to win. That's what it's all about.
That's it. That's it. And I'm going to win. But that's another story for another day. Well, hey, let's go ahead and call it. I appreciate you
Yes,
going on,
sir.
brother.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tooth Be Told. The opinions on this episode are just that, our opinions. Please consult your dental professional before taking any action with your dental health. If you have any questions about anything you heard on this episode, please contact us at Real Dentist with an S. That's REAL Dentist with an S at gmail.com. We would be very happy to return any message that we receive because we love the communication that we have with our listeners.